This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, with our eighth podcast on smallmouth bass. What we're talking about today is fishing dry flies in the time period from the middle of May until the middle of June. This, of course, is what I find in my area here on the Shenandoah River, and you may have to adjust the time period as it applies to your geographical area. I didn't realize how dense some of our caddis flies were until about 10 years ago. I was fishing the North Fork of the Shenandoah right behind my fly shop here in Edinburgh, and I had gotten to the stream about an hour before dark, and there were a lot of fish coming up below the riffles on caddis flies, and I did fairly well. I caught a lot of fish and a couple of pretty good-sized fish, fishing Mr. Rapidan Delta Wing caddis, Elkhair caddis, all those in about a size 14. Now, what really struck me, though, was when I climbed out of the river and headed back up to my car. I was sitting on the tailgate of my Jeep, pulling my waders off, and I saw this gelatinous mass all over the front of my waders from the waterline down about 2 feet. And I thought I'd picked up some kind of contamination in the river. And looking closer, I realized that what I was seeing were masses, huge masses of caddis fly eggs that these adult caddis had dropped into the stream that had accumulated on my waders before they got to the bottom. So immediately I waded back into the river and washed all the eggs off my waders back into the stream so they'd do their thing. Well, for the next couple of evenings, I just couldn't pass up this kind of action here close to my fly shop. The best tactics I found were to fish down and across stream right where the riffle dumps into the main part of the pool. Now, when I'd see rising bass, which was quite frequently, I would cast my fly about 2-3 feet upstream of them and just twitch it very gently across the stream, just like a real caddis fly either taking off or coming back to deposit those eggs. And they took it very, very well. Now, if I didn't see rising bass in the particular area I was in, I would still continue this down and across tactic as I worked on down into the main part of the pool. And this really took a lot of bass. I'm talking about great numbers of bass, some of them very large. Now, this down and across tactic that you get when you really get your lot of the adult flies laying eggs and also have emerging caddis flies is very dependable. And some people don't realize it, but many big bass will pull out on feeding stations along the banks, especially under downfalls, to feed on these caddis. One evening, I was a little bit I was a little bit upstream from Edinburgh that particular evening, and there was a downfall along the bank and water waist deep to chest deep. I was having a hard time to get through it because I was wearing waders. And I saw this bass rising up in this mess of down timber, and, well, I couldn't pass him up. So I shot a couple casts up there, and the current pulled it away from me, and he never did get to see it. So finally I got in as close as I dared and dropped the one up above him, drifted back to him, and he turned out to be a very large smallmouth bass, and he'd been feeding on those caddis flies. I don't know how long before I got there, but while I was there, he took a lot of them, and he took mine, drifted right across his head. Now, floating the river for caddis flies is still very effective. Last spring, my son Jeff and I were floating the North Fork of the Shenandoah. There's a place right here beside town that we drifted into this one particular area. It was some fairly deep water for caddis flies, but they had fallen spent on the water, and they were drifting down into some of this water that was way too deep to wade. Fortunately, as I say, we were in the boat. These bass in this flat, slower water were coming up and feeding on those caddis flies everywhere they could get to them. We put dry caddis on and caught a lot of them. Just as a matter of experimenting, we put some streamers out over these same fish, and they would not take them. Fish, I'm talking about fish that were coming up to the adult caddis. The adult caddis and coming up and taking our dry caddis. They wouldn't take the streamers. We went back to our dry Mr. Rapidan Delta Wing and the dry Elkhair caddis and caught fish like crazy. So there are times that you're going to do better on the little dry fly than you are on a streamer. A friend of mine ventured, well, maybe the caddis flies taste better. Well, I don't know about that. You try it and let me see what you think they taste like. All right, now, So much for the caddis fly. Let's talk about something else that goes on in this time period. Now, I'm talking about the middle of May to the middle of June. We get three different mayflies hatching at this time of the year that are sort of loosely grouped into the category of brown drakes. They're all three mayflies. They hatch along the heavier riffles, the bigger stones throughout the riffles. One of them comes out over sort of on the side of the stream where there is some silt. So what you want to do on this deal, put on the irresistible dry fly, about a size 12 or 14 on probably a 2X leader. Fish these upstream dead drift, just as if you would a brown working on the hatch over below Reynolds Pass on the Madison. In the evening, you'll see a lot of those fish working on caddis flies. Well, working on those mayflies, and that's exactly what we're doing here. Even if you don't see rising fish coming up on these mayflies, the brown drake, go ahead and cover the water. The concentration of the duns is going to be heaviest the last 2 hours of the day. Sometime the brown drake will start coming off maybe about noon, but you're going to see more of them probably about 2 hours before dark. In the riffles, if you see them coming up, see fish coming up, go one-on-one with them if you don't work the riffles. Now, the real gold mine on this thing is when the spent spinners get on the water, they'll actually drop their eggs right below those riffles and in the riffles. But a lot of them are going to fall on the water and wash down into the flat pools right below that. One evening I had a friend who lives here in town with me, and he's a very, very good spin fisherman, but he was just getting into fly fishing. And we were in his canoe, and we drift into one of these pools just about a half hour before dark, and the surface was covered with spent mayfly spinners. And the fish were going crazy, and I was in the back with a paddle in the canoe, and he was sitting in the front, and he looked back at me and said, "What in the world were they doing?" I didn't say a word, but I stuck my canoe paddle down in the water and picked up one of those spent spinners on it and just passed it over for him to see it. And he says, "I'll be doggone." So anyway, we both put irresistibles on and had some terrific fishing. Now, there are two different ways to fish this thing when you're getting these spent spinners on the water. Many times, even though there are large quantities of flies on the water, the bass will not hold on the feeding station. They will actually go out and cruise these flat pools because the current is so slow, they get greedy. They're not going to sit there forever and wait till the flies to come to them. So they go out and cruise these big flat pools below the riffles. All right, so you're seeing a bass out there rising. Now, there are a couple different ways you can get it. You can either fish to him in his cruising manner. You'll see him come up at point A and then point B a couple feet beside it and point C a little bit beside that. So you assume, now you're not going to see the bass. All you're going to see is the dimple where he's sucking them in. But you'll see that path going across the stream. Well, you can sort of anticipate the direction he's going. Cast your irresistible out there in front of him and hope he's going to intercept it. Well, unfortunately, sometime he zigs when you think he's going to zag, and he may not see your fly. The ploy that I am most successful with when I've got these cruisers feeding on the spent mayfly. Now, these are the guys that have already laid their eggs and they're falling dead kaput on the water. So there's not much activity as far as the fly itself, but they're lying dead on the water. Now, the technique I like is the one Charlie Waterman came up with, and we fished a whole lot of lakes out on the Yellowstone drainage. Charlie called it hitting them in the head. Well, what it amounts to, the very instant you see that bass come up and take that fly, you shoot your fly right to that spot just as quickly as you can get it. Many times he'll turn and nail your fly before he leaves that spot. This is very effective, and I prefer it to trying to anticipate the cruising path. But this is an effective technique, and it's only short-lived, an hour at the most, probably more like a half hour, but you're going to have a fish almost every cast or every two cast when these spent flies are on the water. Now, that pretty much covers what I wanted to talk to you today on the dry fly fishing that goes on at this time of the year. Now, our ninth podcast will be coming up next week, and what we're doing now, we're going to go through the seasonal sequence starting at this time of the year. For instance, next week I'm going to be talking about mid-June to mid-July, and I'm going to be talking about streamers at that time. And then we're going to use 15 podcasts to go all the way through to the end of the year, telling you the tactics that are appropriate at the particular time. If you have any questions on any of this, just please give me a ring. I do appreciate the positive input you all have had on that, but just call me at 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.